This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello, and welcome to It's a Fandom Thing. I'm your host, Erin Marlowe, and each week I'm joined by a panel of guests to discuss all things fandom and pop culture, primarily from a female perspective. You'll find everything from fanfic, to cosplay, to Schitt's Creek, to Supernatural, and everything in between. So put on your favorite piece of fandom merch, set aside that fanfic that you're writing about your OTP, and sit back and enjoy this week's episode. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Pop Culture and Fandom News. I'm your host, Erin Marlowe, and this week I have with me Paula, one of my co-hosts from It's a Dean Thing Pod. So hello, Paula.
Hi.
And I'm very happy to have Paula here, and I'm very happy because it was like maybe 9 months ago or something that we recorded an episode discussing the very eccentric, very unique actor Billy Zane, who has been in so many bad movies, but we still love him so much. And remember, you can actually watch most of Billy Zane's filmography or a big chunk of it on Tubi. So if you're looking for Billy Zane content, you can find a lot of it there. We're not saying all of it's great and wonderful, but he's so much fun, and he's so weird and odd and different and just like not like anybody else, I don't think. And we had so much fun recording that, but then the SAG-AFTRA strike happened. And so we couldn't release that episode because, of course, we were talking about a lot of films that would fall under what they were asking podcasters not to discuss during that time. So I don't know if any of our opinions would have changed. We're not re-recording it. We're just releasing that. But this pop culture episode is current. So we are recording this the week of April 28th. We're actually recording it on Sunday, April 28th. So this is current, but that episode is not outdated. It'll be like 9 months old. So before we get into pop culture, I don't know, is there anything really quickly that has changed about Billy Zane for you during those 9 month time?
No, because I mean, and I'm sure we talked about it lots on the episode. I don't remember that far back, but he still just is, you know, eccentric and odd and awesome as ever. So,
yeah. And I recommend following him on Instagram. He's very active on Instagram, and he's also an artist, you know, and he's very much that art thing. I will add, and this is somebody inspired me psychically right now to add this, but I will add that he is hot and weird. Yes, he's like, he's absolutely very, like, he doesn't, I don't even think like he realizes how weird he is. No, I think he does, but it's a good thing. He embraces it. And I really do recommend following him on Instagram because he just, it's interesting, and he's like very, you know, he's just artsy, but in a good way. But before you get to listen to that episode of Paula and I talking about Billy Zane, and we did have so much fun with that, and let us know some of your favorite Billy Zane movies, performances. If you've ever met him, I've spoken to people that have met him and said he was super duper nice. So if you've ever met him, let us know that too. But we're going to talk about some current stuff. So we're going to talk about some pop culture and fandom news. So Paula, what is one thing in pop culture or fandom that you're into right now?
So I just, within the last couple weeks, finally watched the Fallout TV show on Amazon Prime. It's based on a video game, which I actually did not play. My husband did, so I watched it. But it was a lot of fun. It was really good. Walton Goggins is spectacular as the ghoul in the show. And it's accessible even for people that aren't really into video games or have played that particular video game. It's kind of campy in a way, and it's just so good. I mean, I didn't go into watching this with very high expectations, because a lot of times adaptations of, you know, video games are truly terrible. This is definitely an exception. And again, even if you're not a fan of video games or have played that particular one, it's still worth checking out. I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. And this is the second week in a row that this has been recommended. So I'm wondering if this is going to be one of, there was something last year that like every week someone would be talking about how into it they were. So I'm wondering if this is going to be that thing this year.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, I'm getting another psychic intuition here that it was Our Flag Means Death, that it happened with Our Flag Means Death.
Yeah,
definitely. And I think there was something else too. But yeah, I'm wondering if it'll happen with this. We'll see. Next week, we are kicking off Comedy Month with a Billy Zane movie. He's not the star, but he's a co-star in Only You. And Paula will be returning for that. And Meg will be on that. And I don't know if Meg will have watched this. I don't know if it's a Meg approved show, like if it's like there's a lot of horror in it.
It's not really horror. It does get very graphically violent, so if you've got a, you know, queasy stomach, might not be to your taste, but it's not really super scary. So I think okay. if you can handle the gore, you can handle it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll see, because it probably won't be me, to be honest. So so we'll see. Well, what I'm into, and it was mentioned by Carla last week, and then I was very excited that I got to see it yesterday, and that is the movie Abigail. So I did see that yesterday. And one thing I will say is that, and I know a lot of people have said this about it in reviews, have said that it actually would have been so much nicer not to know, and this isn't a spoiler, you know this in the trailer, but not to know that Abigail is a vampire, that it would have been interesting to watch it and have that revealed without having known that previously. But I don't know if they could have marketed the movie in an accurate way without knowing that. So I was fine with that, but I can see how it would have been really extra cool if you didn't know that and then that reveal comes, because there's a lot that happens before that. So that would have been kind of cool. But it was just a ton of fun, and I laughed so much. Radio Silence, they really know how to, who did Ready or Not. I don't like their versions of the Scream movies. So putting that aside, they really, really though know how to combine horror and comedy really well. And they do it perfectly in this movie too. The scenes with Abigail are so awesomely fun to watch. This movie is extremely gory. I do want to make sure people know that. It is so gory. But if you're familiar with the work of the people of Radio Silence who did this, then you should know that that is very common for them. Ready or Not is extremely gory as well. Ready or Not is one of the best horror comedies to come out in the last decade, in my opinion. So, you know they are going to be gory. And so this one was gory as well. But it's just a ton of fun, and it's a great twist on the vampire lore. And I would love to talk about more of it in depth, of like certain things that happened and what I appreciated that this film did towards the end with one of the characters, the character played by Dan Stevens. There was something that happens towards the end that in other movies, Dan Stevens would have made a different choice. And I was so glad he didn't, because it was more fitting, Dan Stevens' character, because it's more fitting with his character to make the choice that he does make. But that's all I'll say. But yeah, I had a blast with it. And I want to give a shout out to the actress who plays Abigail, because this is one of the best child actor performances I have seen in a horror movie ever. I mean, she is so good. And you can tell that she's having a blast playing this character. And that's Alicia Weir. And she's so, so good. The whole cast is good. It's funny, Catherine Newton, who, of course, for a lot of us Supernatural people, we first knew her as playing Claire in Supernatural. And the thing is, to be quite frank, I was not a fan of her on Supernatural. I kind of had a hard time watching her. I didn't think her performance was that great, to be quite honest. But I think she has really grown as an actress, and she has found her niche in horror. She's so good in horror comedies, like the movie Freaky. Even though I didn't like it, it was one of my biggest disappointments so far this year, Lisa Frankenstein. I was very on that movie. But she was really good in it, and she knows how to do horror very well. So I really enjoyed watching her as well. And Melissa Barrera was really good too. And Dan Stevens was really fantastic. Just such a smarmy character, but he was really fantastic too. So I highly recommend going and watching that. I'm very sad that this movie is not doing better than I think it should be. And I'm wondering if part of that is the marketing, because I know studios are not very big fans of Melissa Barrera because of her comments on the ongoing genocide taking place in Gaza right now, because she has spoken out about the genocide. And, you know, she was fired from Scream, the new Scream movie. And so I think that's a big part of it. And I want to add on the note of Dan Stevens really quickly, as a shout out to Carla. Dan Stevens is in one of Carla's favorite movies, Eurovision. And I don't know this. I'll have to ask Carla next time she's on or during our marathon streaming event. But she said on our last pop culture and fandom news episode that maybe Abigail will become her next Night at the Roxbury, because there's Night at the Roxbury in Eurovision. I don't know if it has become that. I'll have to ask her during our May 4th marathon streaming event. So come tune in. She will be on at our 1 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and then a bunch more. I'm sorry, I don't have the schedule right in front of me, but go to the link in our show notes and hopefully I'll remember to ask her that question. But I really would love to do some kind of spoiler talk about this movie and the way it ends. The ending of this movie I'd really like to talk about. So maybe sometime Carla and I can do a spoiler-filled discussion about the way this movie ends and what happens with Dan Stevens' character. That's what I would really love to discuss. And the movie Dan Stevens was in, this little indie horror movie called The Guest. Really creepy thriller. So I also recommend that one for him too. But he's a very under-the-radar actor, I think, but he's really, really good.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so let's move on to one thing in pop culture or fandom that's making you excited, angry, confused. I don't
know. All of the above?
Yes, all of the above.
Oh. Well, I'm excited for some casting news on an upcoming movie. Ryan Gosling is going to be in the screen adaptation of Project Hail Mary, which is a sci-fi book by Andy Weir, who wrote The Martian. And it's, okay, so according to Wikipedia, it's set in the near future. It centers on schoolteacher turned astronaut Rylan Grace, who wakes up from a coma afflicted with amnesia. And he gradually remembers that he was sent to the Tau Ceti solar system 12 light years from Earth to find a means of reversing a solar dimming event that could cause the extinction of humanity. And the book started off kind of slow, but I really, really enjoyed this book, and I loved the way it ended. Like, halfway through the book, I'm like, I really hope it ends this one particular way, and it did, and I was so happy. And I was really hoping they'd make a movie about it, and then finding out Ryan Gosling's in it, I'm like, this is perfect. I'm so happy. I'm so excited.
I did not know about this, and you would think I would. I'm like, you know,
It was just announced, I think, within the last couple of days. Yeah, it's very, very recent news. And the movie's not going to come out till like 2026. So I'm hoping nothing happens to derail that, because I'm super excited about this movie.
Yeah, I'm just really excited at the way Ryan Gosling's career is going, frankly, right now, this new trajectory of it. I just really like it a lot. And I can't wait to see the Fall Guy. I'm really excited.
I know, me too.
So yeah, I'm really, really excited for that one. And that one's coming out, like, that's the movie that's going to kick off summer movies kind of thing. And a lot of people are talking about the fact that usually it's a Marvel movie that, and actually it has been the past, like,
it has, yeah,
so many years. It's been a Marvel movie, and now it's not, because of course people are talking about, I know I'm one of them actually, the superhero fatigue and all of that kind of stuff.
Kind of over it, yeah.
And so I'll be curious to see if, because of Barbie and other things, if the Fall Guy, which it premiered at, now I can't remember which film festival it was at, and it's supposed to be really fun and really entertaining. And I'm wondering if how well that's going to do, and if that maybe starts a new trend where we don't always have to have a superhero movie kick off the summer. So that would be nice, actually. So.
Yeah, as much as I like a good superhero movie, they're kind of getting old. Let's take a break. Do some other fun stuff.
Yes. So this year, I am very hesitantly and kind of like, I'm scared to say it because I feel like the past 2 years have been great for horror. And I feel like this year might be setting up to be great for horror. And the reason I'm hesitating is I've already been disappointed by two, and that was Lisa Frankenstein. And then I'm sorry to say, because I know a lot of people that I like, respect, admire, agree with their taste a lot. I know a lot of people like Late Night with the Devil. I was extremely disappointed in this movie. I mean, it's a cool concept. You know, it's like all basically you're watching this lost broadcast, quote unquote, of this 70s style talk show that was competing with Johnny Carson. It wasn't a real talk show. And they did this one thing for ratings on Halloween, and they were having all these guests on, and this one woman comes on with this, like, I think she's a teenager. They never really said the exact age, or if they did, I spaced it, who's possessed by the devil and that kind of thing. So it's, and it takes a horror turn. And I was just kind of like, okay, this is so-so. But I'm still trying to be hopeful because, like, the trailers during the movie yesterday made me very helpful, during Abigail, made me very hopeful that there might be some really exciting stuff coming. I am so, so excited for this new slasher coming out called In a Violent Nature. And it's all told from the point of view of the slasher. And it's supposed to be completely silent, like as far as like music. There's no music. There's no score, I guess. And I guess from what I've heard, because it was a big hit at Sundance. Sundance has a section that they do, which is all like very dark, twisty movies and horror films. And I guess it has one of the best on-screen kills ever in a slasher film. Like they said, it'll probably go down in history as like one of the best kills you will ever see. And I understand for people that are not horror fans, this sounds really weird and twisted to me. Like, I can't wait to see the kills, but I can't. It just looks like a very interesting, unique way to do this. And I do understand the comparisons when you're watching the trailer that a lot of people are like, well, this just looks like a new Friday the 13th. I understand that. I get that. But all of them are all kind of, you know, there was Halloween and then Jason was like, kind of like a shoot off of that. They wanted to make another one like that. So it's this, they're all in the same kind of universe. So I'm very interested in that one. Of course, Maxine, which I've mentioned before. And then this is the first time I saw the trailer for the prequel. I mean, it's a sequel, but it's a prequel to In the Quiet Place series. And it's day one. So it's the first day. And this is the first one where like Emily Blunt's not in this one as far as what it looked like. I don't know if end up being there, but it looked really good and interesting to see, sort of you get to see how that started. So if you're into the Quiet Place universe, it would be for you kind of thing. And then this one is the one that I am the most like hesitant about because of who did it, but there's a new M. Night Shyamalan movie coming out that stars Josh Hartnett called Trap. And I know a lot of people are upset because the trailer gives away the fact that Josh Hartnett is playing a guy. If you don't want to know any spoilers for this, then don't listen for the next like 10 seconds or try and avoid this trailer at all costs because it gives this away. But Josh Hartnett is taking his daughter plays his dad. He's taking his daughter to some pop artist's concert or something. And it's this, you know, like, oh, father-daughter bonding time. And he goes to get something at the concessions or something and leaves her in there. And he sees all these cops everywhere. There are tons of cops everywhere. And he's asking someone what's going on. And they're like, oh, they're setting it up for this serial killer they're going to be trapping here. You know, that killer, I can't remember what his name is. And then pretty quickly you realize Josh Hartnett's character is the serial killer. So that's kind of the trap set up. And I know a lot of people have said, well, the twist has been revealed. But I honestly think that's probably not the twist. I think there's probably a fake out. Yeah, I mean, I highly doubt he would be like, let's reveal the twist in the trailer, because that's kind of his signature.
Exactly. I was going to say, it's M. Night. That's his shtick, is there's always some crazy twist that you usually is projected a mile away, but still.
It's true. It is usually projected like a mile away. You usually do know it pretty quickly. So, you know, there is probably something else going on. I saw someone suggest something that is probably what the twist is, and I'm not going to say it because I don't want other people to hang on to that and then have it spoiled for them. So I'm sure there's another twist, but anything where Josh Hartnett can get more love and more screen time, I'm all about. It's just, I'm so ambivalent when it comes to his movies, to M. Night movies, because there's only been a couple that I've actually really liked. So, I mean, I still love The Sixth Sense. It's still one of the best ever, but I'm very hesitant. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that what I am excited and then also very hesitant about is this year's slate of horror films and thriller films, because I'm really hoping it turns out to be as great as years past, the past 2 years, which I think have been fantastic for horror. So fingers crossed. Yeah. And then I do want to say, on that Late Night with the Devil thing, I want to say, it's so funny because I keep seeing all these people, and this movie is doing extremely well streaming. So I see all these people complaining because the beginning, like 2 minutes of Late Night with the Devil, are just production companies. There are so many production companies that worked on this. I just want to say, I know it's kind of funny and laughable when you get to like the 10th one and you're not on the movie yet, but a lot of that is because this was a truly independent movie, and independent movies and movies that are not from the studio system and not regurgitating the same stuff, even though I was disappointed by the movie, but still it's not regurgitating necessarily the same stuff over and over again. They take a lot of studios, unfortunately, because most big studios won't take chances on it if it's not like a proven thing. So just putting that out there that, yes, I think it is funny, but when you want more original stuff, and when big studios won't take a chance, that's what ends up happening, is you have a bunch of small studios getting together to make it happen.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, so for our main topic, which I have a feeling you could have probably guessed what this would be, listeners, since we've been talking about this. So the TikTok ban looks that it will probably happen. The U.S. Senate passed the TikTok ban, you know, saying divestment or ban, and Biden is set to make it law. They have until it's January of next year is kind of the date they've given for the company to divest interest in TikTok, so that United States can have some interest in the company. They have said they are not going to divest interest, and I'm on their side on that. I don't think they should give in to this. This is bullying tactics. This is horrible. And it was also snuck into a bill that also was allocating more funds to help support a genocide. So it's all gross and disgusting. And the TikTok ban just infuriates me because of the fact that all social media has horrible things in it, bad things happening in it. But of course, you're going to attack this company because, well, racism, of course, but also capitalism, and because you can't make a, because you can't have interest in it. So it's gross. And I know you've been on here before when we've mentioned, when we've talked about it before, Paula. So now that it really does look like this is probably going to happen, what are your thoughts on all of this?
Oh, God, it makes me so angry. So I was doing some research on this last night, and this was attempted before in the previous administration by executive order, and it was shot down or whatever. And I was looking at, you know, who actually owns the company. And the Chinese company, I'm sorry, I can't remember who it is right now. They only have, yes, it's a controlling interest, but they only have 20% of the stock in the company. The rest of the company is spread out among American, European, and other investors. Yeah. So there's a lot of things about this that are infuriating. And another thing that I saw in here was the Chinese government, I think in response to the last time the ban was attempted, took legal steps on their end so that if, I think it's Databyte is the name of the company.
It's BitDance, B-Y-T-E.
BitDance. If they try to sell the company and their government doesn't approve of that sale, they can stop the sale. So this is going to cause problems between the two governments if this continues. But also, Montana tried to do a ban within their state, and district judge put a stop to it. Now they've appealed it, but he said it was an unconstitutional ban because it infringes on free speech and whatnot. So I think even though that they've tried to pass this, it's going to be a legal battle, and it's probably going to be a drawn out legal battle. But it's still just the way they've gone about this, you know, sneaking it into another bill, which we knew was going to pass because it's a, you know, quote unquote foreign aid bill. It's just, in my mind, just underhanded and just not okay. I hate that they do this on things that they know are not going to pass or are questionable about whether or not they'll pass. So they attach it to another bill that they know will. And they do this all the time, which is, I could go into a huge political just on that. But yeah, it's dangerous in my mind, because if we start, you know, I know we've talked about this before, and I said before, we've already got states that are trying to ban books and states that are trying to ban TikTok. Montana wasn't the only state that's tried this or is wanting to try it. There's so many things going on right now that the governments, you know, whether it's federal or state, are doing that are infringing upon individual rights. And this is just another step. And it's, quite frankly, it's scary the direction that things are going in this regard. It's not a good look for our country that's supposed to be about freedom, and they're taking steps, and the reasoning behind it is ridiculous, because they're saying it's because they're worried about privacy for the American public. Well, all of the other apps that we have for social media, why are we not going after them too, if that's the real reason? I don't believe that it is. It's all about money. It's all about the money. We want what you have. If we can't have it, we're going to make you go away. That's what it boils down to. It has nothing to do with security and privacy concerns, in my mind.
Yep. Money and racism and capitalism, race, and that's all intertwined. White supremacy is all part of all of this too. And also, you know, I want to make sure everybody knows, and I'm pretty sure everybody does know, this is not Democrat Republican thing. This Mm-mm. is both sides have come together on this. Biden is going to sign this bill. So it's not like Biden is like, oh, no, I can't do this. I will use this platform to try and get elected, but I'm going to try and ban this platform. The hypocrisy of that. I mean, all these, a lot of politicians that are in favor of this are also using the same app that they're trying to get banned in order to further their power and their control and in order to get elected. So you can't sit there and say this app is dangerous and talk about banning it and then like at the same time use something that you are saying is supposedly so awful. When, yes, every single social media app is going to have issues and problems. I'm not saying TikTok is 100% okay. But another thing about TikTok that I think is also another reason for this is TikTok is the place that, and this used to be true of Twitter and it no longer is of Twitter at all. But TikTok is a place that you can go and you can see videos. I think the video part of it is actually what makes it different and special and unique in that way is that you see videos of people talking about stuff that is happening in the world that the media is not covering, that the media will not talk about. And big time with the genocide that is going on right now, you do not hear mainstream media when they're talking about all these protests at every college. And I'm talking about media that's considered liberal and media that's considered conservative. Both of them are doing this, where you will hear them talk about how the young people, the young college students that are out there protesting right now, and the media is saying that it only mentions the fact that the pro-Palestine protests that they are like, basically they are equating to part of the reason they're protesting is they are against attacks on Hamas, which is a way of saying these protesters are siding with terrorists so that they can make the protesters seem bad. And that's part of what I think is also going on with this TikTok ban is I think they don't like the fact that so many people use this platform as a way to actually speak truth out there, to get the truth out there when the mainstream media, when media in general will not cover that. And so I think that's another reason is this poses a threat to the people in control here in the United States. And the other thing here that politicians don't seem to grasp here, and I'm speaking especially to you, Joe Biden, to you, President Biden, you don't seem to grasp the fact that by doing this and being in favor of this, you are alienating a whole entire generation pretty much by doing this. You are alienating a generation that could help you win an election. And you are taking away something from them and you are doing it under this guise of that you're trying to protect them. If you were trying to protect them, this is a generation that grew up with school shooter drills. This is a generation that grew up with that kind of thing and watching their government do nothing for them in that. And so you're continuing to do that. You are not going to win over voters by continuing to lie to a certain generation that a lot of that generation seems to, and this is Generation Z, and a lot of them seem to understand and seem to be really waking up to the fact that capitalism is such a disease and so dangerous and that the way we have done things is not healthy or sustainable. And so you are basically just taking away a part of what a lot of that generation really valued and attacking that. And so this is the way you lose elections, plain and simple. I really think that. And there's a million ways that you're losing this election. You know, funding a genocide is a big way you're also losing this election. But this is another way that you're losing this election. And I do agree. I do think there will be some kind of legal battle here because of freedom of speech. I think that's definitely going to come into play here. But it just, that part of it, I don't know if everybody really has woken up to. And if you're so worried, if you're so worried about internet safety, which this is why I don't think this has anything to do with that. Mm-mm. You would be so like on Facebook a lot more than you are. You would be attacking them a lot more than you are. You would be calling for ban of that or some kind of change of that because of the way Facebook is. Facebook is very dangerous in a lot of this kind of stuff in the political climate, the stuff they did during the elections, all of that. Twitter is extremely dangerous right now. Twitter is also just extremely obnoxious because every thread now, every post there, you look underneath and then you'll find some weird random ad or weird random article. Mm-hmm. And it's horrible there right now. So,
yeah, well, that's the thing. It's because, you know, they're saying it's because, you know, they're taking our private data and all that kind of thing. Any company that you interact with online, whether it's a social media company or you're just buying something online, they all are accessing your personal data and using that to target ads, you know, to sell it to other companies, all these other things. So if it's really a matter of security like that, then that's the issue that needs to be addressed across the board, not just one company. They need to address internet data safety, and they're not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's, I mean, and that runs the gamut of lots of, I keep seeing these segments on the news and stuff about, this is totally not the same topic, except for that it's the internet safety kind of thing, but about all of these people getting swindled out of all tons of money through online dating sites because people will be on there and they'll fake like they're someone and then they end up taking people's money, those kind of things. And that's mm-hmm. becoming a huge, huge thing. The thing with people impersonating celebrities, like there was this kind of funny thread that I saw on Twitter where somebody had like a fake Keanu Reeves had contacted them. And then he kind of played with them and said, well, I have this other Keanu Reeves. I thought this was the real Keanu Reeves and kind of was joking around with this scammer. Well, I was watching this news report the other day and this woman has been talking to this fake Keanu Reeves and she is convinced. She's like, this man is not fake. This is the real Keanu Reeves. I'm like, well, why does he keep wanting you to send him gift cards? Why does he want you to keep doing this for him? And she's like, I don't know, but we have a very special bond. This is the real Keanu Reeves. I know it is. And it's so heartbreaking to me because you watch this person and they're so convinced and they're like, the only way that I will be convinced it's not them is if the real Keanu Reeves says that it's not him. So it's very sad. So I know that really doesn't seem like on the topic, but I just mean like that's the internet safety that I don't know if that's being looked at in the same kind of way that like this TikTok ban is. Because that's why, because it's not about safety. It's about money, mm-hmm. racism, control, war. It's about all of this stuff. It's about wanting to be number one. And because we're not number one when it comes to this, then, you know, then it's like, screw this. We're going to find a way to take it away.
And the other thing is, how can that be legal according to international law? Because you're basically telling another company that you can't do business in our country unless, you know, you have to sell it to us. That doesn't seem like, and I don't know anything about international law, but it just doesn't seem legal to me. It feels like you said, bullying or, you know, extortion in a way or something. It just seems illegal.
Yeah. And it's just another way for so many countries hate us. So many countries hate us and with very good reason. And this is just another thing that's going to make other countries either laugh at us a lot, you know, or hate us.
And it really worries me for the upcoming election because you're absolutely right that it's alienating and disenfranchising an entire generation. And we're counting on those votes to, you know.
Yeah. And I want to say, I do not blame anybody that doesn't vote for Biden.
Oh, no. No, at not at all.
All because he did this to himself.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, he should not be running again. He should not be running again. It's absolutely ridiculous. He's way too old. He's not a good president. And I mean, yes, he's better than other people, but that doesn't mean he's a good president. He's doing horrible things. He's not doing anything. So I want to make sure to say that because I know a lot of people are really attacking other people, especially Black women, and being like, you're going to support him no matter what. And we have to get him in there. You know, you got to choose the lesser of two evils. And that's always the way it has been. But in this instance, I mean, neither one is going to help. looking to help people that really, really need help. That's what it comes down to. They don't give a crap. And so if you are not going to vote for either one and you are voting third party, I am not at all blaming you for that. I want to make sure, because yes, we are in this very, very, very dangerous situation right now. And we have been for years upon years upon years. This is not anything new. A lot of this began with Reagan. There's a great TikTok account where a guy goes over all this stuff that he's like, every single problem, you can look back and trace it to Reagan. So in this country. So, you know, stop with that rose-colored glasses about Reagan, because Reagan was not a good president and not a good human being. So yes, this has been set up for decade upon decade, and I understand the weight of this election. No one is saying they don't understand that. It's just that neither one of these people are good people, and they're not doing anything for the people that will be harmed by Trump. They're not, like, at all caring about that. So, yeah.
I just really wish that there was a really good, strong, independent candidate that everybody could rally behind and kick both of the other two to the curb. I wish that was the case.
Yeah, I know. And it would have been interesting to see what would have happened if, you know, like back in 2020, if Bernie Sanders had won the primary. Because, you know, of course, everything that went on with that was another thing that also pissed a lot of people off that were huge Bernie Sanders supporters. So, yeah, So,
we could go on for hours about this.
Yes, we could. We could do a whole other one. But anyway, and I just want to say, I just really applaud all of you college students out there that are out there protesting and that are speaking out and, you know, doing stuff and calling for the universities to divest interest in Israeli companies and all. I really want to applaud you for doing that. And, you know, I know it seems like nothing's going to happen, and I can't say whether or not anything will with that, but there were times when protests happened in colleges stopped investing money in, like, tobacco and in companies that were hurting the environment and stuff. And while this, I think, is a harder one, I just think it's just really applauding you, because when you do that, that's how you hopefully can get things done, by speaking out. So, yeah. Okay. Well, this has definitely been a heavy way to, we definitely could talk about this for hours and hours and hours. And we might do, like, a special episode at some point this year, just talking about TikTok and then everything involved in that and all the other political stuff involved in that as well. So, yes. But we're going to go ahead and close out this pop culture and fandom news episode. And I'm going to have Paula tell everybody, who is my co-host from It's a Dean Thing Pod, tell everybody where that can be found and you can be found.
Yeah, you can find Aaron, Susie, and I over It's a Dean Thing Pod on all of the social medias and wherever you listen to your podcasts. Me, you can find me on all of the socials at It's My Sandbox. I don't really post a whole lot, but I'm there. I don't really post anything, but I'm there. I just repost and like things, you know. I'm also over on Twitch at my gamer tag, Artemis75. That's ARTEMISZ 75. And yeah, so. Oh, and don't forget, we have a Discord channel where it's a fandom thing pod, and we have a Dean channel there. And you can come say hi to us, tell us what you think, give us fanfic recs, memes. We like videos, we like memes, we like all that stuff. So come say hi over there.
Yeah, thank you. I was going to say, is Paula going to forget the one thing that I'm like, every time Paula's on, we'll remember the Discord channel. Send us TikToks.
Yes.
Winchester TikToks. Love the thirsty TikToks.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Well, thank you, Paula. Well, this is Aaron. And Fergie did not get to watch Abigail, but I know if Fergie, you know, when we rewatch it, Fergie would love Abigail. This is totally up that dog's alley. She loves horror movies. And especially this, she'd be like, Abigail would be like her hero. So if you want to watch her and go see some of her cute TikToks before it's gone, go follow her on TikTok at Schroeder and Fergs. That's Schroederandfergs. It's long, but it's worth it. Be sure to like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/itsafandomthingpod. On Twitter at fandomthingpod. No, it's in that one. On Instagram, Threads, and TikTok at itsafandomthingpod. If you have any feedback, show notes, if you'd like to be a potential interview guest on the show, feel free to reach out to us at our website. It's afandomthingpod.com. Click the contact us button there and that'll shoot me an email and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And while you're there, consider becoming a Patreon supporter for as little as $3 a month. You get ad-free content, bonus episodes. I have started, you know, every once in a while releasing an episode a day early. So not just an hour early, but a day early as well. For our upcoming May 4th marathon streaming event, we are going to be doing prize giveaways for our Patreon supporters. So, you know, you can win stuff, you know, and one of them is going to be like horror themed, a bunch of cool things. So, and we'll do that every year during our marathon streaming event. So become a Patreon supporter. If you become a Patreon supporter before Saturday, May 4th, I may give it a little bit of extension into like a certain time that day. You will be entered in. Granted, you can't just become a supporter and then leave the very next moment. So, but you could still win. So click the link in the show notes or click on the support us tab on our website. And remember to join us in just a few days. Whoo, boy. Boy, howdy. Paula is going to be there for quite a few segments. We're going to see if Paula can win the trivia about my men.
Ooh. We'll see.
We'll see. But that's our May 4th marathon streaming event. There's a link in the show notes. It starts at 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and goes to 10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on our YouTube channel. And I hope to see all of you out there. We're going to kick it off after I do my opening comments with a Would You Rather segment for Star Wars Day. Definitely want to tune in for our May 4th marathon streaming event. So Friday, Paula will be back and you'll be able to hear our episode from last year, 2023, talking about the unique, the one of a kind, the extremely gorgeous and sexy and talented actor, Mr. Billy Zane. So until next time, remember, it's a fandom thing. Black Lives Matter and Stop Asian Hate.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, podcast listener. Do you love talking about movies, music, TV, comics, and games? Then you should be listening to The Great Pop Culture Debate, back in bigger than ever for Season 9. This season, the panelists discuss the best James Bond film, the best Elton John single, the best Nickelodeon original series, the best Batman villain, and so much more. Find the show wherever you listen to podcasts or head to greatpopculturedebate.com. More than 100 topics are already available. Subscribe today.